Bow in prayer. Oh, Father, that truly would be a prayer that would come from our hearts, that we would desire to walk close to you as we journey through this life that is so brief. How we pray, Father. How we pray that our hearts would be open to you, our minds receptive to what the Word of God has to say, that, Father, it would go beyond these four walls, would go into our lives, go into the workplace, go into our relationships with family and friends, neighbors. Be my prayer this morning, Father. And pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I appreciate the Woods because they've always considered this to be their home church. They've moved a lot. But wherever they moved, they looked for a church, found a church, and settled into that church and became part of it and ministered to people in all those different places. Those churches didn't like to see them leave, but they've always considered this to be their church. We've had a number of people who have gone to other places who've done the same thing, but they still consider this to be their home church, and that's quite a blessing. It really is. If they were all here, we'd have a full house. Besides the ones that go to Arizona and Florida, we'd be a full house. But they're here in our hearts, and they minister to us, and we're grateful for that. That's a good thing. Let's turn our Bibles this morning to the book of Genesis. We're doing character studies, and this morning we're going to be looking at a fellow by the name of Enoch. He's really one of my favorites in the Old Testament. Of course, I got a lot of favorites in the Old Testament, but Enoch really kind of sticks out because of the fact that he never died. He was taken up bodily. You only find that twice in the Old Testament. So we're in Genesis chapter 5, beginning at verse 18. Genesis chapter 5, verse 18. Jared, that's Enoch's father, lived 162 years and begat Enoch. And after he begat Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. After he begat Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Three times in the Bible we find Enoch. We find him in the book of Genesis, here in the fifth chapter. We find him in Hebrews chapter 11, and we find him in the book of Jude, that little book with one chapter, in verses 14 and 15. But he has a tremendous message for us. Every character that we study in the Bible has a message for us, and we should take these seriously. For those who don't know Enoch from a banana split, he was the son of Jared. And when you look at these people, they lived a long time. The population back before the flood had exploded because people had such longevity. There was a massive population by the time the judgment came in the flood. He was the son of Jared, and he was the father of Methuselah. And Methuselah lived to be 969 years old. So you can imagine how many sons and daughters you can have in 969 years. The great-grandfather of Noah was Enoch. Enoch was Noah's great-grandfather. His name means dedicated one. It's quite a thing that so many people in the Bible have a name that has a meaning. Now, sometimes they don't live up to that meaning. They don't always live up to that meaning. But sometimes they do. Enoch lived up to the meaning of his name. Now, maybe it took 65 years to live up to the meaning of his name, but he did. And we look back and say, Enoch was dedicated. He was dedicated to God. And it's quite a thing to live up to that name. We as Christians should live up to our name as Christians. We really should. He did. After this sermon is over with, I want you to be able to say, I spent the morning with Enoch, and I learned this. Number one, that man, Enoch, walked with God. He walked with God. He didn't mind being with God. He wanted to be with God. Now, it started out at 65 years old, and we look at it in our time frame. It's not quite the same, but There was a time period in which he decided he was going to walk with God. Others weren't, but he was going to do that. He started out at 65 years old. About the time you get Medicare, it's not too late. You can start walking with God at 65 years old if you want. Enoch did. He started after the birth of his son. It seems like something about Methuselah being born triggered something in Enoch whereby he started walking with God. And God took him up. He was taken up. We talk about the rapture, the fact that the New Testament teaches that the day is going to come when the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The Bible teaches that. Oftentimes I use that passage in Thessalonians because we're putting somebody in the ground, and I'm trying to teach them that this is not the end of the story. This is not the final chapter. There's more to come. And we see that in Enoch. It says that he had a testimony that he pleased God. Having the testimony is quite a thing. I was telling Paul, I don't know why, but so many times I write that word testimony and I spell it incorrectly. I put an E instead of an I. But I shouldn't, because it's so important, a testimony. I should at least have it spelled correctly. It says Enoch had a testimony that he pleased God. Quite a thing to please God, isn't it? He communicated God's word in an evil generation. He communicated God's word in a time period in which God was rejected by his creation. But Enoch, he told the truth. He talks about this world being ungodly. And that's mentioned a number of times, and we're going to be reading that. He talks about their hard speeches against God. If you read the news, you stay up with things. Hey, there are an awful lot of hard things being said about God and God's book, the Bible. A lot of hard things are being said about people that follow the book, and sometimes you can understand that, because people that claim to follow the book aren't really following the book. Not hard to see through. And he made it clear how it was going to end. How it was going to end. How this world was going to end. Last week, it could have been the week before, but they finally have a photograph of a black hole. And everybody's so excited because we got a photograph of a black hole. You realize how much money we had to spend to get that photograph of that black hole? Wow! And they believe that if we can understand that black hole, we can understand where we came from. I know where we came from. Because God told us where we came from. We didn't come from a black hole, I'll tell you that. Anyway, he made it clear how it was going to end. Life has some vital lessons. And we should examine these people very carefully to find out the lessons that God has for us in the lives of these people, like Enoch. How to avoid evil, how to do good, how to be, here's this word, successful. What is that success? What is success? Success with man, success with our career. Real success is success with God. Enoch was successful because he walked with God. We just read that in Genesis chapter 5. We read about his birth. Quite a thing, a birth. Bring the baby out. You look at that little pruny thing. I remember Paula saying, isn't he cute? And I thought, oh, I'll wait till tomorrow and tell her. Only a mother could say something like that. Now, there are a few, and I saw a few that I looked at, and they were cute. But I'm telling you, 90% of the ones I looked at, they could use a little work. I hope no one is offended. Jared looked at that boy, and he said, I'm going to name that boy. Gave him a name. Dedicated. I'm sure Jared wanted that boy to be dedicated. I'm sure that Jared wanted that boy to have stick-to-itiveness, to start something and finish it. I'm sure that Jared wanted that boy to make his dad proud. Well, that boy made more than his dad proud. Made God proud. If I could use that word. Because we have this record of him. And then he had his own children. Mentions them there. Methuselah was the firstborn. And then he says he had sons and daughters. And you can imagine what Thanksgiving was like. I mean, when you live to be 365 years old. Of course, they didn't have Thanksgiving. I'm just making that up. But you can imagine the family getting together. I mean, you'd have to rent quite a place. The way that family was growing. But he had sons and daughters. That's what they were supposed to do. They were supposed to have sons and daughters. They were supposed to replenish the earth. That was their purpose here. That's what God gave to Adam and Eve. That's a good thing. And then it talked about his walk. Mentions that twice in that passage. Walked with God. Enoch walked with God. We have people that we like to spend some time with. We have people we like to spend a lot of time with. We have people we like to spend a little time with. We have people we don't want to spend any time with. You know, that kind of thing. But to want to spend time with God on a regular, daily basis, to want to have God involved in your life, to want to communicate with God, to desire to do God's will, that's quite a thing. That's what Enoch did. He just did that. That doesn't come easily. That doesn't come without a cost. Didn't with Enoch either. Walked with God. And then one day, it was over. It was all over. How does the songwriter put it? Want to move from this world of sin. Getting tired of living here. I want to go home where the winds of sorrow never blow. Well, that song wasn't written yet, but I'm sure if it had been, Enoch would have identified with those lyrics. One day, he did get to go home where the winds of sorrow don't blow. And one day, we will also. One day, we're going to say goodbye to this old world of sin, and we're going to go home. You don't mind doing that if you walk with God. Because if you walk with God, it's just another step. It's just a graduation. You're moving on if you walk with God. In that little book of Jude, it was talking about apostates. Apostates were false teachers that were coming in and they were trying to derail that early church. And Jude wanted to talk about the gospel and how good the gospel was and how we need to reach people with the gospel. But he said, I really can't deal with that because we have such a problem in the early church by these apostates coming in that we need to address this issue. And he wrote about the apostates. But here's one of the statements that he made in verse 16. He said, these are grumblers, complainers, walking, that's the word. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lust. And they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. Saying, we got a problem here with these people. Because they are coming in here and they're teaching stuff that is contrary to what God has taught us. They are antichrists. Now, they're not the antichrist, but they are antichrist. Anybody that teaches anything that's contrary to the scripture is teaching things that are antichrist. Don't be antichrist. Don't walk that way. He said, these people are walking that way. We can identify these people by their walk. You hear this, don't judge. Well, you better judge. Because if you don't judge, you're going to be derailed. He says they are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts. They have their own motive. They have their own direction in which they want to take the church. And they're off. That's quite a thing. That same book in verse 18 says, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. They told you how they were going to walk. That expression means the way in which you conduct yourself, the way in which you go through life. That's your record. How's our record? Because Enoch walked with God, and God took him. I'd like to end this walking with God. Wouldn't you like to end this walking with God? John put it like this. He says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. 3 John 1:4. He said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. It's like, whew, that nice? That's a nice thing. I'm an old fellow. Not as old as Harry, but almost. My son is 47 years old. He gets on Facebook. I don't. But every once in a while, somebody will say, hey, I read what your son put on Facebook. And I'll go, what? No, it's good. It's really good. This is what he put on Facebook. I said, that's good. That's really good. But you know what? I say, I'm glad. I'm glad he's not putting stupid stuff on Facebook. And I've heard from different people, and they say he puts good stuff on Facebook. And I'll tell you, it makes me proud. Now, I'm not going to go on Facebook and look at it because I'm afraid I'm going to say something bad. He doesn't. He can handle it, but I can't. I'm liable to come back with a comment and have to live with that the rest of my life. But that feels good. Yeah, it's good. The boy's doing well. Glad to hear that. Yeah. Enoch walked with God. Isn't that good? John said, isn't it good to hear your children are walking with God? No, John's not talking about his natural children. He's talking about his spiritual children. He's talking about those he won to Christ. And time has gone on, and they're still going. Paul mentions that a number of times. He'd go into a place and see people come to know the Lord, and time would go by, and he wasn't sure. He'd write back, how's it going? Because, you know, sometimes people, they embrace the gospel, and it's good for like a little while, maybe a couple days, and then they're off somewhere else. But if you make a profession of faith, and 30 years later, you're still living it, make a father proud. That's what John was saying. John says, this is love. 2 John 1:6, he says, this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. He said, taking the commandments of God seriously. Some say, well, we're not under the law, so it doesn't matter. Well, we're not under the law, that's true, but it does matter. The commandments of God, they really do matter. They're very important. And John said, hey, it's good to know that you're taking the commandments of God seriously. Walk with God. Do the right thing. Peter was talking about that same walk. These folks had been saved from paganism. They had no concern about God or his law. They had no concern about Israel or the Old Testament scriptures. That meant nothing to these people. And they lived a licentious life. The philosophy of most of them would be, let's eat, drink, and be merry because tomorrow we die. And Peter wrote about that. He says, for we have spent enough of our past lifetime. That's 1 Peter 4:3. He said, for we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles. He's addressing believers. The will of the Gentile. Kindergarten. First grade. Second grade. Third grade. Junior high. High school. Being molded and shaped according to the will of the world. Being influenced by our peers. Setting our own standards. Oh, some had a little religion. I remember a friend of mine said he believed in God. And I thought, really? You really do believe in God? Yeah, I do. I really believe in God. Now, he acted just like I did, but he believed in God. I didn't. That's the way the world was. That's what Peter says. He addresses that. He said, we did the will of the Gentiles. When we walked, now he's talking about walk. He says, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. So that's the way it was. What we worshipped back then. I'm not talking about going to church. It's what we worshipped back then. Some looked in the mirror and they worshipped the image in the mirror. They were number one. So that's the way it was in the past. He said, we walked in that. He said, don't you forget that. He was saying to those believers, the way you walked then and the way you walk today, they are not the same. It's a different walk. It's a different mentality. It's a different goal. It's a different focus, this walk. Because Enoch walked with God. Believers, we need to walk with God. In Colossians, Paul put it like this in chapter 1, verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. The first day of college or the first course you take, they give you a syllabus. They give you a syllabus. And you look at that and go, huh, this is going to kill me. All the things that you have to do to get through that course, that's a syllabus. In Colossians, he was talking about the syllabus. Listen, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That's quite a syllabus. See, this Christian thing's a piece of cake. Really? Piece of cake? Wow. I like your Christianity. Show up at church once in a while, maybe once a year, maybe Easter or something, Christmas. That's a great Christianity. The only problem is I don't find that Christianity in the Bible. I don't find that presented in the Bible. The Bible talks about a Christian walking with God, like Enoch walked with God. about making commitments worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. When people are looking for a doctor, when people are looking for somebody to fill a position, they look at the qualifications. And they're looking for somebody that's qualified. They're looking for somebody who's jumped through all those hoops through life to reach that position because they have a tremendous amount of knowledge about how that particular thing should be done. Nothing wrong with that. What about the Christian? How are we going to be fruitful? How are we going to mature unless we study to show ourselves approved unto God? A workman that doesn't need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There's no easy way to do that. The father of all who believe, Abraham, had to leave someplace. You talk about a walk. That's a long way to walk. When you leave Mesopotamia and you go all the way to Canaan, that's a long ways to walk. Well, that's a physical walk, but there's also a spiritual walk, and that's a long ways to walk. It's a constant walk. It's a continual walk. Enoch walked with God. Amos put like this in chapter 3, verse 3. Can two walk together unless they agree? How can two walk together unless they agree? You have to agree with God about some things. The main thing you have to agree with God about is this. We're sinners. Hey, we're sinners. Sorry. All have sinned, come short of the glory of God. We have to agree with God about that. Secondly, He died for the sins of the whole world. Not just Christians now. He died for the sins of the whole world. We have to agree with that. Because how could you walk with Him unless you agreed with that? You see, if you didn't believe you were a sinner, you'd have no need to walk with Him. You're good. But He said, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none understand. There's none that seeks after God. You have to agree with Him. Oh, Father. Hey. I'm not a good son. That's a hard thing to say. Oh, Father, how I need you. Time comes somewhere around 13, 14. We want to get away from our father. And we don't want anything to do with our father. And we don't think our father is too smart. We want to strike out on our own. We want to have a life without our father. We want to build our own life. The unfortunate thing is, sometimes people bring that attitude into their Christian experience. And we want to distance ourselves from our father. And we shouldn't do that. We need Him. We sing that old hymn, I need Thee every hour. But do we believe that? If we need Him every hour, then we have to walk according to the principles set forth in His Word all the time. Enoch walked with God. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11 with me. It's the next mention of our man Enoch, but it's very significant. Hebrews chapter 11, this is the faith chapter of the Bible. There are a lot of Bible characters there that we're going to be looking at in the coming months and probably years now. If I live that long. But this one mentions Enoch. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken away, so that he did not see death, and was not found, because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Pleased God. Wow. Quite a thing to think about, really. Please God. We try to please people for our own benefit. We please them because we're going to get something out of that. I remember I was working with some mechanics because we had ambulances that were constantly breaking down. Had a particular shop where we took these units, tried to get them fixed. I wanted to get in and out as quickly as possible and get ahead of some other people that they were working for, and I would use some subversive things. Like I would go to Dunkin' Donuts and get 24 donuts and take it over and give it to the supervisor to give to the mechanics and things like that. You know what I mean? But it wasn't because I really liked the mechanics. It's because I really wanted to get the job done. I was trying to please them for whose pleasure? My pleasure. And we do that often with people. We please people because we want to have a return on our investment. But we're talking about the one who knows. How about pleasing God? He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Wow. You ever consider pleasing God? Say, today, I'm going to please God today. Well, how are you going to do that? Today I'm going to do God's will for my life. Today I'm going to deal with some of the sin issues in my life. Today I'm going to visit some people that really I should visit with and pray that there will be an open door with the gospel with these people. That would be pleasing to God. The verse we memorized for last week is Luke chapter 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. When we as individual Christians are out there trying to seek to see saved that which is lost, we're pleasing God. Because that's what His Son came here to do. When we sacrifice our time and we sacrifice our money and we sacrifice who we are because it's pleasing to God, that's a good thing when we do that. But that doesn't just happen. You have to actually set out to do that. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. And he was taken. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he had pleased God. Testimony. He had a testimony that he pleased God. I remember a fellow that was a mechanic for Great Northern Paper Company. And I remember looking at him because he had a testimony that he pleased God. I remember a forester for International Paper Company. I knew there was something about him different. And one day he stopped in the yard, and I just got done loading some cars, and he stopped in the yard and he wanted to talk to me. Come to find out, he was a believer. And he'd be in a place, this forester, and take his meal, sit down at the table, bow his head, and just without verbalizing, thank God for his food. And sometimes guys would say, "What are you doing?" And he'd say, "Well, I'm just thanking God for the food." Ah, crazy. That forester had a testimony that he pleased God. He wasn't doing that for show. He didn't want to be seen doing that. He just had a testimony that he pleased God. I thought that's something. When I had the funeral for Daryl Gordon, a couple of state troopers and a game warden, they wanted to pray with me before the service, gathered around with these guys, and they prayed. I didn't pray. They prayed. They wanted to pray about the service. And I thought, you just don't think of those people in law enforcement doing something like that. But you know something? Those three guys, they had a testimony that they pleased God. And I thought, that's just refreshing. That's something to see. Turn to Jude, and we'll take it from there. Jude's talking about what Enoch had to say about the last days. Enoch had something to say about the day in which he lived, but Enoch also had something to say about a day that was coming. And that day that was coming was pretty much like the day in which he lived. Because the day in which Enoch lived, judgment was coming. And this future event, judgment was coming. Judgment's coming. Judgment's coming on the world. We live in a world that's going to be judged by God. Now, people have a hard time to believe that, but it's true. And Enoch talked about that. Jude, verse 14. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." The word that's used over and over again in that prophecy is the word ungodly. Ungodly people, ungodly deeds, ungodly way, and ungodly sinners. That's the world that Enoch lived in. And that's the world that we live in. We live in that world. Now you think of Charles Manson, you think of maybe some other mass murderer or somebody's done terrible things, and you say, well, that's the ungodly people. Well, they are ungodly, there's no doubt about that. But ungodly simply means God has no place in your life. You can be a little granny knitting socks for your grandchildren, and you have no place for God. You are ungodly. You never stole anything, you never swore at anybody, but you have no place for God. Granny, you are ungodly. Enoch was not ungodly. Enoch walked with God. But Enoch, in the environment in which he lived, was surrounded by ungodliness. when I read that we came from monkeys, that's ungodly. That's been going on for a long time, and 100 years about now. I'm not quite sure when the Scopes trial took place, probably in the 20s or 30s, but that was ungodly. But that's the world we live in. We live in a world that does not want to believe that God created us in His image. They just don't want to believe that. And we can't change that. And we're not going to change the moral atmosphere of the world in which we live. We're not going to change that. It's ungodly. It says, ungodly people, ungodly deeds, ungodly way, ungodly sinners. But we as Christians should not be ungodly. We as Christians should be godly. Well, what does that mean? That means what God says, that's the road I'm taking. If it's the narrow road, I'm taking the narrow road. I'm not taking the broad road. This is the road I'm taking. Enoch walked with God. He stands out. Interesting thing is, Enoch and Noah, Enoch walked with God, God took him out, and you have Noah, and Noah was taken through judgment. Enoch was taken out before judgment, Noah was taken through judgment and delivered to the other side. And that's interesting because prophetically it speaks about this. When the rapture comes, believers are going to be taken out. But the Hebrews who believe, there are going to be 144,000 of them, they're going to be taken through. In other words, there's going to be a work that's going to go on through the judgment. The Christians are taken out, but the believers during the Great Tribulation are going to be taken through. Tremendous picture. In light of that, we should be godly. We really should. We should be the example. Didn't die. They looked for him, couldn't find him. Never died. Go back there to that part of Genesis and you find out so-and-so lived and he died and so-and-so lived and he died and so-and-so lived and he died, but Enoch didn't die. He was taken out. The lie that was given to Adam and Eve by Satan was, you shall not surely die. That was a lie. Because they died. And their descendants died. Can you imagine now if you started walking a trek across country, not going on the interstates, but just through the secondary roads, you left Allegash and going down 161 and you go all the way to Florida. Do you know how many graveyards you go by? I mean, really, you go by a lot of graveyards because people die. You know, didn't die. He's taken out. That's something. It says by faith. By faith. In other words, Enoch knew that was coming. And he believed that. It must be that God told him about it. And he was just waiting. I wonder if this is the day that I walk with God and I'll be taken out. Huh? Could be today. Never know. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you for Enoch. Thank you for the message of his life. And we pray, Father, these lessons, that we would take them seriously. They'd be part of our life. We would walk with you. In an ungodly world, we would be light, salt, all those things you require of us, not for our sake, but for the Lord Jesus Christ, who's given us everything. We pray in his name. Amen.